My parents are visiting from Southern California. They're here this weekend. They'll be at the second service. Yesterday, my dad and I were out doing errands. He was in the passenger seat, and he turned to me and said, "Steve, have you heard the one about the cannibals?" He likes to tell jokes, has a different kind of sense of humor. You probably know that's where I get mine, I suppose. I said, no, Dad, I haven't heard the joke about the cannibals. He says, "Well, there were two cannibals who went to the doctor with upset stomachs. And the doctor said to the cannibals, 'Well, what have you been eating?' And they said to him, 'Well, you know, the usual fare.' The doctor said, 'Well, could you be a little bit more specific?' And the cannibals said to the doctor, 'Well, yeah. Well, these two, they were walking and dressed in a brown robe with a cincture tied around it, a hood, and a crucifix around their necks.' He says, 'Oh, okay. Well, how did you prepare them?' And they said, 'Well, in the usual fashion, of course, we boiled them.' And he said, 'Well, that's where you've gone wrong. You see, those two weren't boilers, they were fryers.'" Huh? Huh? That's good. That's my dad. The joke, though perhaps crass, reminds us that knowledge is important. It's important to know how to cook our food, or we might get sick. It's also important to know about the one we follow and how to follow him. The Reformation was a great turning point in the history of knowing and following Jesus. If you have your blue slip, you can follow along. We're talking today about sola scriptura. That means only scripture, literally, or by scripture alone. Martin Luther was faced in his day and time to compare scripture as he began to read it against what the church was teaching. And the more he read scripture, that is, the more he became convinced that the church had moved away from scripture as its sole authority. And so Luther's radical stance on scripture still stands today. There were three predominant points that Luther held about scripture. The first is that scripture alone is the source and norm of all of faith and life. What does that mean? Well, by source, Luther meant that faith comes from the hearing of the message, and the message is then heard through the word about Christ, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. That all we know about our faith and life and Jesus and the creator of the whole universe and the way that creator interacts with humankind is found alone solely in the scriptures as God's revelation about himself to us. And it's the norm, or it's normal, because as Paul says to Timothy, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so it's the normal way that the follower of Jesus not only knows Christ, but then begins to follow Christ in everyday life through their actions, through their words, through their thoughts. And it stands alone. This was significant. This was one of the outbreaks of the Reformation. In fact, Luther's stance that scripture alone stood above all other things led him, as we'll talk about in a few moments at the end of the sermon, to be tried in front of the country at the Diet of Worms. But Luther said, "Neither councils, fathers, nor we, in spirit of the greatest and best success possible, will do as well as the Holy Scriptures, that is, as well as God himself has done." You see, the popes, The cardinals, the church, were passing down information that did not fit with Scripture. And Luther says, none of those pale in comparison to the Word itself. No book, says Luther, but Holy Scripture can comfort, for it contains God's words. Number two, Luther proposed that Scripture is rightly interpreted through the church. So he wasn't putting off the church solely and carte blanche and saying, you have to stand apart from it. He's just redefining how Scripture and the church interacted one with the other. He said, Bernard Lowes, predominant author and Luther scholar, wrote about Luther, Scripture, faith, and community thus belong together, meaning, according to Luther, that the determining factor is not the individual's teaching office, but the self-authentication of Scripture in utterances of faith. What does that mean? That within the context of the body of Christ, the people of God, the faith, that Scripture finds its meaning. And it's not just then the individual who is bringing meaning or interpretation to a particular passage, but it's the body of Christ, the people of faith that work together to do this. See, the problem was, is in the time of Luther, the church, those in leadership, were passing down meaning of Scriptures that didn't fit with Scripture itself. When he started, Luther, to hear about indulgences that people would pay that their loved ones might have spent less time in purgatory, Luther thought, wait a minute, Scripture doesn't support that conclusion. And so Luther says, by itself, Scripture is most certain, most easy to understand, most clear. Its own interpreter, instead of those who are in the leadership in the body of Christ or the church, he says it's most clear, its own interpreter, testing, judging, and illuminating everything by everything. The elevation of Scripture above those who are in the church, and those who are in the church usually brought meaning and interpretation through a means that they called sound reasoning. Luther says sound reasoning, or the mind of the human person, cannot interpret nearly as well as the Scripture of God itself. And so Luther is beginning to change the framework by which we understand the Word of God. Scripture alone is the source and norm of faith and life. Scripture is rightly interpreted then through the church. And lastly, Scripture center, no matter if it's the Old Testament or the New Testament, Scripture center is Christ. The Old Testament, says Luther, would point to the cross, the life, the death, the resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. However, the New Testament would speak of the life of Christ and then to our future in that life. Luther said, take Christ from the Scriptures, whether Old Testament or New, and what else will you find in them? Sola Scriptura, the foundation and essence of knowing and following Jesus. Have things changed today for us? Is Scripture no longer the sole source and authority for normative life and faith? Is Scripture still rightly interpreted by the church? And is Scripture still giving evidence to Jesus? The world would say no to those things. We have been throwing out Scripture. You see this in the last 100 years, in the last 500 years. But maybe even more noticeably in our context in the last 10, 15, 20 years, Scripture just doesn't have the same value as it used to. And so what does one do to get back to the heart of the Reformation? Many theologians and even some sociologists believe we live in a day and an age that is desiring and deserves a new Reformation, that things have changed so much in our time in the same way as things were changing in the time of Martin Luther. And we know things were changing in the time of Martin Luther. And so what do we do about it? We hold up sola scriptura, in Scripture alone, again, as one of our foundational pieces of faith. How do we do that? First, we know it. Paul says, from infancy, as he's talking to Timothy, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And there's a purpose for that, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's why, as Kristen and the 500 Reformation team is encouraging us to immerse ourselves back into the Scriptures, that we might know it in head and in heart. I want to play a little game with you this morning. Amanda does this with the youth. She calls it, is it Scripture or is it Taylor Swift lyrics? Now, I knew you wouldn't know Taylor Swift lyrics. So we're going to play, is it Scripture or is it Johnny Cash lyrics? Maybe you have a chance. So did Scripture say this or did Johnny Cash? My God is real. In my soul, my God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. Is that the Bible or is that Johnny Cash? Anybody know? That's Johnny Cash. It sounds close to Scripture, doesn't it? Okay, how about this one? You're the shepherd of my heart until the trumpet blows and I go to meet the shepherd in the sky. Is that Scripture? Maybe that's the psalmist who writes that. Is it Isaiah? Is it a prophecy? Nope. It's just the man in black. How about this one? Love, it burns like a blazing fire, like a mighty flame. Anyone want to take a guess at that? Nope, that's in Proverbs. Who knew? That's a good, I got you on that one, right? This isn't a ring of fire. This is love. That's from Proverbs. And lastly, wine is a mocker and beer a brawler. Whoever is led astray by them is not wise. Now I've got you totally confused. Yep, that's the Scriptures. We have to know the Scriptures. If we don't know the difference between a Johnny Cash song and the Word of God, we've got to immerse ourselves in the Bible. Number two, if we're going to take back this idea that Scriptures are sole source and authority for normative life and faith, we need to be able to defend it, not just know it in our heads, but be able to defend it from our hearts. Now, the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, says Luke, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the Scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. This is Paul the Apostle, and they're holding Paul the Apostle accountable to what he is teaching in the Holy Scriptures. 2 days ago, I got a visit from two Mormon missionaries, and we began to talk, and they said, have you heard the good news? I said, I've not only heard the good news, but I preach the good news. And they said, oh, that's great. And they said, would you have a moment for us to talk to you? I said, yeah, what would you like to talk about? And they said, well, have you read the Book of Mormon? Oh, yeah, I've read the Book of Mormon, I said. They said, what'd you think about it? Do you want me to be honest? I said, yeah, be honest. I said, I think it's junk. I think it's made up by a human author and has nothing to do with the true word of God, the Holy Scriptures. And they said, well, okay. And I said, so tell me, is Jesus God? You see, I don't mess around. I like to get right to the heart of things. And they said, well, no, Jesus is the Son of God. I said, well, that may be what the Book of Mormon says, but that's not what the Bible says. Because I knew that the writer of Hebrews said this, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being. Jesus is not less than God, but Jesus, sustaining all things by His powerful word, after He had provided purifications of sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. Jesus is God Himself, ladies, as I shared with them. Yes, they weren't men in white shirts and ties. I also knew this from Colossians. Paul says, the Son, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. But what if I didn't know these texts? What if I didn't examine the Scriptures? I could easily fall trap to these elegant words from the Book of Mormon. We have to know God's Word in order to know the true and living Christ and follow Him. And lastly, we have to do it. It's not enough to sit and listen or to read God's Word and then stop. We must know it, defend it, and do it. In our gospel, I read for us, therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands, says Jesus, and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But, did you hear these words? Whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. We not only hear God's word, but we practice it. James, the apostle, said, or the brother of Jesus, said, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. It's not enough to hear the word, but put it in practice. And then we have to pass down our faith to others. We all, through the doctrine of sola scriptura, pass down our faith to others. Faith, says Paul in Romans 10, as I've read before, comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. I'm going to read Martin Luther's defense of the Word of God and his stance upon that Word as the sole source and authority for normative faith and life as he addresses the king of the country. May we have this attitude. May we say these words with purpose and passion if we're challenged by God's word. He says, since then, Your Majesty and Your Lordships desire a simple reply, I will answer without horns and without teeth, unless I am convinced by Scripture and plain reason. I do not accept the authority of popes and councils, for they have contradicted each other. My conscience is captive to the Word of God. I cannot and I will not recant anything, for to go against conscience is neither right nor safe. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen. And amen. Please stand now as we sing.